Well, it's already been mentioned, but I'll say it again. Happy Thanksgiving. Isn't it a wonderful day? How many of you have enjoyed the colors this weekend? Aren't they spectacular? It's just great if you get a chance to even just do some driving around in Byron. I'm not sure what it's like over at Springbank Park, but my guess is it's quite nice as well. How many of you have already enjoyed a Thanksgiving meal this weekend? How many of you are looking forward to a Thanksgiving meal later today? I see a lot of hands. How many of you are hoping I'm not too long this morning? So there you go. I saw that hand, Rick. I saw that hand. And it's a family time, isn't it? We've got a lot of folks who indicated to me last Sunday during the week that they're away this Sunday visiting with family. And we sure wish the best for them as they're traveling. And some of you are visiting with us today, and we want to extend a warm greeting to everyone who is here this morning. Hey, Ryan, great to see you back. Ryan, we were thinking of last week. He had a little bit of a health issue, and Ryan, it's just great to know that you're back with us, and hope that all is well. We'll be thinking of your New England Patriots as they're playing later, but the biggest issue is that Ryan is good and he's back with us, and that's a real blessing that way. I have one verse to speak on, and I'm going to ask Karsten to put that verse on the screen. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, and it simply says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Say it with me. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I'm going to divide you into four groups. Okay, this group on my left seems to be the eager, motivational group that like to give instructions. So they're going to say the words, "Give thanks." It's a command. It's an exhortation. So say it with heart. Say it with meaning. This group over here, I think I've got some skeptics over on this side. I look over. Yes, yes. So you're going to kind of say, almost as a question, "In all circumstances?" The group up here is what I call our theological group. So you are going to say, "For this is God's will for you." And then the group towards the back, you're going to, almost as if it's the secret that pulls us all together, the phrase, "In Christ Jesus." Okay, so you've got it. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now let's do it well. In fact, I'd like you to stand because we want to do this so that it's just a beautiful Thanksgiving statement. Okay, ready? Okay, that was fairly well done, but we'll do it one more time, okay? Again, keep in mind your part and how you want to say the words.
Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Well done. Okay, you can be seated. I'd like to just break the passage up. We had four groups. I'd like to look at the four sections, and I'm not going to do it in order. I have a reason for that. I'll start with the phrase, "For this is God's will for you." If you're like me, over the years, a big issue has been discovering God's will. We had the preview promo last Sunday for the David Platt series, and as Melissa reminded us, be sure to sign up for that after the service today. It is superb teaching. 1 hour a Tuesday night is an investment that you won't be disappointed in. But he'll be talking at some stages about what it means to discover and to be in the center of God's will. Now, when you think of God's will, there's two basic parts. And I'm not going to try to get too deep or theological here. But there's God's sovereign will. And when we talk about God's sovereign will, that is to do with the idea that God is in control, that nothing catches God by surprise. God has an order. God has an overarching plan for everything. So Thursday, as I was involved in Marilyn Ubrig's funeral, Marilyn and Doug used to sit over in this section, and I said to the folks during the funeral service that it was a bit surprising. Marilyn had not been doing well with her health, but we kind of sensed that she would live longer. And in fact, I talked to one of her daughters and was setting up a visit to go over and see her. So when I got the news that she had died, I was actually quite surprised. But as I said to the folks on Thursday, there was never a moment when God observed what was going on where God said, "Oops, I didn't see that coming. That caught me off guard. I'm surprised." Now, God's sovereign will means that God knows everything. He sees everything. He ultimately is in control of everything. So that's one aspect of God's will. But then there's God's will that has to do with his desires, his intentions, what he wants of you and me, what we should do, how we should behave, how we should respond. And for some of us, we can remember when it was a very popular topic at youth retreats and it was a real thing that was the center of attention. How do you discover? How do you determine God's will? And some of us would say, so what is God's will when it comes to who should I marry? What is God's will when it comes to where should I live? What is the will of God when it comes to where should I work? And I mean, we had all these kinds of questions. The breakthrough for me was when a few years ago, someone said to me, there's not a lot of places in the Bible where it specifically says to us, this is God's will for you. In fact, I challenge you to go home later today or this week between bites of turkey, think through and look through the Bible and see how many times you'll kind of come across the phrase, this is God's will for you. Now, I know there's a statement in Romans 12 where it talks about how we are to surrender and yield our lives to God. This is God's perfect, good and perfect will for us. There's another spot actually in 1 Thessalonians where it says quite specifically, it's God's will that we abstain from or flee from sexual immorality. So that's something that should catch your attention. We don't have to go looking. We don't have to go, how do I discover, how do I determine what God's will is? It's right there and it's there for me. This is one of the other places in the Bible. I've counted up about four, so this is another place in Scripture where we very definitely have, this is God's will for you. There's no saying this is God's will for the Thessalonians or this is just God's will for men or this is just God's will for young people. This is God's will for you and for me. So when we discover this kind of phrase that this is God's will for you, we need to pay attention to it. So what is 1 Thessalonians 5 telling us? Well, that's on to the next phrase, give thanks. It's God's will. It's what God wants of you and me, that we are people who give thanks. In the Thrive series, if you'll recall, we had a text verse, a theme verse in Colossians 2 that says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him. That's what it means to thrive. And then there's an attached phrase, and overflowing with thanksgiving. It's what God wants for us. If you're a thriving Christian, if you're a Christian who is committed to growth and to be fruitful and flourishing in your life, you will have an interest in, you will be committed to being a thankful person. Thanksgiving matters. In Romans chapter 1, in fact, Paul says, here's the distinction between someone who is godly and someone who isn't. The person who is godly is a person who's going to give thanks. The person who is ungodly is the person who, though he knows God and knows about God, refuses to give thanks to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I like it when people thank me, when it's appropriate. So when I go through a checkout and the cashier or the clerk says, "Thank you for your business. I appreciate it." When I have someone who is a server or someone who has given me business, I think it's appropriate to say thank you. My guess is, as a child, some of you learned the importance of saying please and thank you. Now, I believe, and you've heard me say this before, that we are currently living in what I call a culture of entitlement. And I don't know about you, but I'm finding more and more examples of ingratitude. So it used to be that the cashier automatically would say to you, "Thank you for your business." I don't know how many times I've gone through a checkout where the cashier is more interested in talking to the other cashier, almost ignoring the fact that I'm there. One of my pet peeves is when you're very kind and courteous and let somebody out in front of you in heavy traffic. Now, isn't it appropriate for that person to give you a wave or a hand signal? Do you agree with me? And some of us drive along and we go, "Listen, I get hand signals all the time when I'm driving." It has nothing to do with an appropriate wave or appropriate gesture that way. But we appreciate that. We like it, don't we? This is directed at my children and other younger people here. But we like it, don't we, when our kids at an appropriate time will say, "Hey, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for this." Or when someone prepares a really nice turkey dinner, at the end of it, you don't just rush away from the table, but you stop appropriately and thank the person who cooked that meal. There's a heads up for my family later today. But we appreciate it. But did you know that our Lord appreciates being thanked? In fact, it matters to the Lord. You know that little story that's tucked away in the Gospel of Luke where 10 lepers were healed? Do you remember that story? And you remember they all were joyful and glad and they raced off. How many came back? Do you remember?
One.
And you remember what the person did who came back? He gave thanks. And Jesus said, "Well, where did the others go? Why did no one else come back?" I find it very intriguing that Jesus commends this fellow for his faith. In fact, I would argue one of the real markers of sincere, authentic faith is that you express thanksgiving. I love that little saying or quote that Melissa had for us in the announcement section. I might go, "But isn't it good enough to feel thankful? Like, wouldn't Jesus have known back then that other lepers who were healed were thankful?" I would argue he did, but it still mattered to him that the lepers be thankful. And here's one of the little nuggets I want to give you today. Giving thanks to the Lord isn't just for his benefit, but the bottom line is it's likely for your benefit. It's likely for my benefit. Did you ever think of it that way? So when I give thanks to anyone or a person, it's as much for my benefit. It keeps me humble, and it keeps me being a very gracious person, knowing that I have no sense of entitlement. Who do I think that people should just do everything for me? In the same way, when we give thanks to the Lord, it matters to him. Our Lord wants us to be a people who are thankful. In fact, it should be one of the top qualities of people in a church like Byron Community Church. We should be a thankful people, always looking for opportunities to express gratitude and appreciation to one another, and above all, to our Lord. But let's look at the third phrase, and this is the one that's tricky. Give thanks in all circumstances. I know what it's like to give thanks when things are going good. I mean, to give thanks when someone's done something really nice for you, or to give thanks after a beautiful meal, or to drive along and see the beautiful, spectacular colors and go, "Thank you, God, for the beauty of creation and for the eyes of faith that enable me to see your handiwork." But give thanks in all circumstances. Let's face it, there are some circumstances where the very last reaction on your part or my part would be to give thanks. We might grumble, we might complain, we might be very bitter. At best, we might go, I'll kind of settle for this. I'm disappointed, and it's kind of a very random kind of response. So what does it mean to give thanks in all circumstances? I think the preposition is very important. In the Greek, this is an accurate translation of the Greek passage, so it's not give thanks for all circumstances. I mean, it's not like Paul said, I love problems, hardships, and trials in life. Lord, bring it on. I hope you're not that way. I hope you're not a person who goes, I just live for another problem, another hardship, another trial in my life. No, Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. There'd likely be various reasons why we can give thanks in all circumstances. I think one of the big reasons we can give thanks is because of what we said earlier. God is a sovereign God who is in control. He knows what is happening. He knows what is best for us, and he has that kind of control. There's a song years ago. I was tempted, Rick, to ask us to attempt to sing it this morning, but it's more of a solo song or a duet or a trio song than it is a congregational song. Do you remember the name Andre Crouch? Let's just see how many of you go back a few years ago. Okay, there you go. He did actually a great Thanksgiving kind of song. How can I say thanks for the things you've done for me? And then the chorus, I think, goes to God be the glory. Beautiful song. But another song he did, which is likely one of my favorite Andre Crouch songs, was a song called Through It All. Do any of you remember that song, Through It All? Boy, there's a lot of hands going up. Maybe Rick could have done justice to it. I'm almost tempted to, should I just read this off or should we try to sing it? You want me to sing it, Gene? Gene, I should make you come up to the platform and sing it with me. I know she could. I won't put you in and embarrass anyone. So if you know the song, sing it. Sing it with the idea that you love people around you who are younger, who may not be familiar with it, to understand the meanings of the words. And I'll put myself on the spot here. Forgive me for this attempt at my solo singing career. It's got to start somewhere. Might as well start Thanksgiving Sunday. Ready? Here's a good note. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. Sing it out. Through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Let's try the second verse because it's really important. I thank God for the mountains. And I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them. I never know what faith in God could do. Ready? Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I'm more concerned that you leave not with the impression that we've got some people who can sing okay, and then a pastor who's kind of mediocre as far as a soloist. I'm more concerned you pick up on the message. And I believe one of the reasons Paul was able to say we can give thanks in every situation, hardship, trial, or difficulty, is what God can do in those situations. what we learn in those situations, how our faith grows and develops. Don Thane, I know that one of your very favorite verses or sections in Scripture is in James 1. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into diverse temptations, trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work, so that you might be mature and complete, lacking nothing. I don't know about you, but when I think of Christian growth and development, I sign up for a seminar. I sign up for good experiences, the mountaintops. But sometimes even in the valleys, God can do great things and good things. And so we'd be able to agree with Andre Crouch in the words, through it all, I've learned to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe there is another secret. And I want to really make sure this point comes through today. And it's captured in that last phrase, in Christ Jesus. One of Paul's very favorite ways to describe you and me who are believers in Christ. Because we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we enter into a relationship with Christ. And the words Paul loves to use to describe people like you and me is, we are in Christ Jesus. We are united with Christ. And yes, there's a sense where I put my trust and confidence and belief in Him. But what's exciting about being a real Christian is that Christ will indwell me through the Spirit. So I am in Christ, but Christ, through the Spirit, is in me. And that's why we have confidence to say that we are never truly alone. There's another verse, and through it all, we won't sing it. I'll just read it. I've been to lots of places. I've seen a lot of faces. There's been times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know I was His own. Why can you and I give thanks in hardships, trials, and problems and difficulties in life? Because we know that Jesus is always with us. The Great Commission, which is a very favorite statement for many of us in the Bible, right at the end of it, Jesus makes a promise. He says, lo, I am with you always. I will be there for you in your hard times, the difficult times, in the good times, the mountaintop, and in the valley experiences of your life. So how can you and I give thanks, even in all situations or circumstances? Because we have the confidence that we're never alone. Christ is with us. He walks with us. He talks with us. He tells us through Scripture, through the encouragement of others, and through that soft, still voice that you and I recognize as we grow in our faith in Christ, He lets us know that we are His. Let me close this segment with a little story. There was a young mom with a little one, and we're blessed recently with some little ones here at the church. I love that. That's, to me, a sign of life in a church to see little ones. And so this young mom, it was her first little one, and she wanted to teach, we'll call him Johnny for lack of a better name. She wanted to teach Johnny to stay in his playpen. He was just at that age where he was restless, and she felt for her to do some of her tasks around the house, it was best if he could just settle a bit. And learn to play within the confines of the playpen. Well, one day, this mom's dad was over. And he was an older guy. He had experience with parenting. And he had come over just for a little visit. And it came that time of the day where little Johnny was to be in his playpen. And the mom said to her dad, she said, now, if Johnny is unsettled, if he cries or whimpers or whatever, I know you're in the same general area. You're going to be maybe reading a book or whatever in the room. But I don't want you to take Johnny out of the playpen. She said, I know that that's what he might want in the situation, but it's going to be best long term if you don't take him out of the playpen. Well, this mom's dad thought, oh, that sounds very mean. I'm little Johnny's grandpa. He might want to be with me, but he knew that his daughter had her reasons for that instruction, and he thought to himself, she has told me that I am not to take little Johnny out of the playpen. Well, about 30 minutes later, the mom is doing some work in the kitchen. Her dad is in the room with little Johnny. Little Johnny's been put in the playpen. And sure enough, she can hear little Johnny kind of crying and whimpering. She's going, oh boy, he wants out of the playpen. And then all of a sudden, there's silence. It's very peaceful. And she smiles and she thought, well, I bet you little Johnny's catching on. That no matter if he cries or whimpers, if he's been placed in the playpen, he's to stay there settled. So she thought, I'll just go in and take a peek. She opens the door, and believe it or not, somehow her dad has managed to go right into the playpen, and he's holding little Johnny, and they both seem quite content. She looks at her dad, and he says, you told me I couldn't take Johnny out of the playpen. You didn't tell me I couldn't go into the playpen. A few days ago, our Lord called Marilyn out of the playpen of life into what is next, which is far better than this life. No hardships, trials, or difficulties in heaven for those of us who trust the Lord. But in his timing, the Lord has determined that you and I are to walk on earth. We are to deal with life issues, some joyful, some hard. But in dealing with those life issues, we have the confidence that Jesus enters into the situation and circumstances of life. Isn't that good to know that Jesus is there in your home? You might go, oh, I didn't even think of that. But I believe that through the Spirit, Jesus is in your home. Did you know that when you go to work in the morning that Jesus is going with you? I'm not exaggerating to say, did you know that Jesus is on the football field, that Jesus is on the hockey rink, Jesus is on the soccer pitch? That when we connect with others in the foyer, where two or three gather, Jesus is there. Why can we possibly give thanks in all circumstances? Because we know that Jesus has entered into your situation and my situation, and that gives us great confidence and trust in him. In a very spectacular way in history, Jesus entered into your situation and my situation. Jesus left the splendor of heaven, all the majesty and all the glory that we can't begin to imagine. Can you believe it? We'll celebrate this in just a few weeks, that Jesus came as a baby, born in a manger, born in a stable, placed in a manger. And just to think that this Jesus came into your world and he came into my world. He was born to die. He went to the cross where he died for your sins and for my sins. That's why Paul in another place goes, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. It's been interesting the last couple of days. I made a point when I've been dealing with cashiers and clerks of saying, and be sure you have a happy Thanksgiving. Now, one of the things I'm observing is I don't think many are using that kind of greeting because a lot of people are kind of startled and then they go, thank you very much. And I'm going to look forward to that and enjoy that. Again, my theory is I think we have a lot of people in London, a lot of people in this area of the city who are thankful, but they really have no one to thank. And that's kind of sad, isn't it? But that's what happens when you exclude God in your life. But because we know God through Jesus Christ, of all people, we should be thankful to our Heavenly Father thanks be to God for this indescribable, how do you put the gift of Christ into words? But over the next few minutes, as we close off our service, we're going to have a time of communion. I think this is the most significant Sunday of the year for us to celebrate communion. Do you agree with me? It's just a really important time where we can, in our way, in silence, in song, we can say, God, thank you for what you did through Jesus Christ. Jesus died for you. He had his body broken. His blood was shed so that your sins might be dealt with, so that you might have the confidence of eternal glory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a couple of songs right now as we prep for communion. Will you stand with us? And I'm going to ask Rick and the team to come back at this time as we enter into and close our service off today with communion.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Once again, I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at this saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again.
What could you possibly give the God who created this universe, the God who is sovereign, who is in control? What could we possibly give to express thanks to him? One of the things that song tells us, and we sang before the Lord, is we give our hearts. Might be a heart that's full of joy today. You might have come here today with a broken heart. We have a treasure in us, but we are jars of clay, fragile and easily broken. But Jesus says, hey, I want you to yield and surrender to me. And as we express thanks today in our way, in our words, I would ask that you maybe use this as an opportunity to renew your commitment to the Lord, to say, you know what, Jesus, I thank you for opportunities like today where I can thank you for what you have done for me. So just before I pray over the emblems, I would like you just to bow your heads, close your eyes, and you don't need to use out loud words, but the Lord knows your heart. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going well. He knows where you're struggling. He knows where you're strong in your faith. He knows where you're lamentably weak. But this is your opportunity just to very quietly say, Jesus, thank you for all that you've done for me, for all the blessings, for the mountaintops and even for the valleys. Thank you for being there for me. And above all, going my place to a place called Calvary. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for Thanksgiving Sunday, where we can come and in joy and gladness with hearts full of praise, thanksgiving, and adoration. Thank you for all your good and gracious gifts. But thank you above all for our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for allowing your body to be broken and your blood to be shed. You could have called thousands of angels. You could have destroyed those who were putting you to death. Jesus, in humility and a demonstration of profound service, you gave your all for us. Jesus, today in this communion time, we offer up our lives to you. So in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'll ask the ushers to come at this time. Please be seated.